God will allow things that are not preferential to us, but are glorifying to Him.
Dr. Tony Evans says our hard times often serve a higher purpose.
So one of the questions you must ask and answer in prayer, what glory do you want from my crisis?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. We all face hard times in life, but when we're stopped in our tracks by a real crisis, it's easy to feel helpless and lose hope. Today, Dr. Evans shares solid advice on how to cope. Let's join him.
A crisis is when you are overwhelmed by negative events or situations causing you to feel helpless or hopeless. It is where the events that are overwhelming you are beating at your well-being. Whether it's a health crisis, family crisis, monetary crisis, mental crisis, it's beating you down. And there isn't a solution clearly in sight. Sometimes you can see a crisis coming, and sometimes they just hit you out of nowhere. If you're in a medical crisis, then you're going to go to the doctor to relieve your crisis. If you're in a financial crisis, then you're going to go to some financial counseling or a bank to see if they can relieve your crisis. If your car is falling apart, you're going to go to a mechanic to rectify that issue. If your house is in a crisis, you'll call a handyman to come and make things work again. If your clothes are in a crisis, you're going to a tailor. You want him to stitch it up or her to stitch it up to put it back together again. If your grades are in a crisis, you're going to go to a tutor to help you work through the academics of the situation in which you find yourselves. But where do you go when your life is in a crisis? In other words, none of the places you look to resolve it can help you. That's our situation in John 11. Lazarus is sick. And we know from the story, he's sick unto death, because it would only be a few days later he would die. So he's not just sick, he's seriously sick. And whatever medical help there was insufficient to resolve the problem of his medical crisis. So what Martha and Mary did, the sisters of Lazarus, is they went to Jesus. They sent word to Jesus. You and I would call that today, they prayed. They sent word to Jesus. Jesus, our family member has a crisis. This is a life and death crisis. And we're crying to you to resolve the crisis. Now, I want you to observe something. We're told in verse 3 some of their prayer requests. The one whom you love is sick. We're told in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So evidently, spiritual people get sick. They had a love relationship. Jesus loved them and they loved Jesus, yet he still got sick. So don't ever let anybody tell you just because you have trouble means God is far away or you're not in fellowship with God. They're in fellowship with God, but he got sick. So you can love the Lord, praise the Lord, follow the Lord, and still have trouble, still get sick. Now, sin can bring sickness, But righteous people who are close to God, who are spiritual, who love the Lord, also get sick. Now, I'm going to walk with you theologically through this passage today, because there are some TV programs you'll watch that will give the impression if you love Jesus, you won't get sick. No, they loved Jesus and he got sick. So they prayed. They sent word to Jesus. The one whom you love is sick and it's serious. Jesus sends back a word. This sickness, verse 4, is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. That's pregnant with theology. He says, first of all, I've got good news for you. Bad as it is, this sickness is not unto death, but God wants to get something out of it. So let me give you and me and us theology and whatever the sickness is you're facing, the scenario of the crisis that you will face. God will allow things in our lives that are not preferential to us, but are glorifying to him. This sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. So one of the questions you must ask and answer in prayer when you're in, when I'm in, when we're in a crisis, is you must answer the question, God, what glory do you want from my crisis? In John chapter 9, the first three verses, there's a blind man. He can't see. The disciple said, we want to know who sinned. Because if he's blind, somebody did something wrong. Who sinned? Was it he who sinned or was it his parents who sinned? Jesus answered and said, it was neither he nor his parents who sinned, but this blindness is for the glory of God. So you must not detach God's glory from your pain, our crisis struggle, even though we want him to deal with it, but we do want to attach to him and to it his name and his glory. So he's not going to die, but God is going to be glorified. So that was the answer to the prayer. But I got a problem. My problem is verse 6. When he heard he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Come on, Jesus. I just told you, my brother is sick, and you even know it's not to death, because you told me he's not going to die, and you're not going to hurry up. Has God ever delayed on you when you're in a crisis? You need him right now. And he's hanging back for 2 more days. He's not moving like you need him to move, want him to move, feeling he should move, cry for him to move. He's not moving. He stays 2 days, but it gets worse. Where Jesus was and where Martha and Mary were, 2 miles apart. So not only does he delay, he delays and he close. Now, I can understand if you cross town and he sent you the Son of God, I probably won't even understand that. But at least in your humanity, if you're on the other side of town, you got to take a donkey. I got you. It's going to take a minute to get. But you're down the street, Jesus. If you don't want to walk, get a ride. But you can get a horse, a donkey, a carriage, or get your 12 disciples to carry you. You 2 miles away. You close and you don't come and you delay 2 days. After I prayed, because they've already talked to Jesus. They've already put up their prayer request. Story gets more interesting. After 2 days, Jesus tells his disciples, let's go to Judea. Let's go, guys. Then he says something else, a new term for Christians. Verse 11, he said to them, our friend, because remember, Lazarus is close to Jesus. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awake him out of his sleep. Verse 13, now Jesus had spoken of his death, but he doesn't say he died. He said he's sleeping. This is a different terminology. This is new. This is a New Testament phrase. Now, when you are asleep, you're still alive. Last night, when you went to sleep, you were very much alive. You were just in a different state of consciousness, but you were still alive. He says, while I'm talking about his death, I'm not going to call it death. I'm going to call it sleeping. When you hear about people who had died and come back to life, they were asleep. And he says, I will come to awaken him. The word sleep is only used of Christians in the Bible. It's not used of the general public, only used of Christians. So Christians sleep. Whether God brings you back in this life or takes you to the next life, you're only transferring consciousness. You're not losing existence. And you're transferring that consciousness in the will of God. This is new terminology. But here's what messes me up. Can I tell you what messes me up? One thing messed me up, 2 days. Come on, Jesus, hurry up. Second thing messed me up is 2 miles. You close. But the next thing that messes me up in verse 15 is, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Come on now. How are you going to be happy about it? He says, I'm glad I wasn't there. Even though you called on me, needed me, wanted me, I was close, I delayed, and now he's fallen asleep, or we would say died, and I'm glad I wasn't there. How can you be glad when I'm sad? How can you be glad when I'm mad? How can you be happy at a time like this when we're sorrowing, we're struggling, when we're in pain, we're in crisis? Says, I'm glad I was not there.
Well, Dr. Evans will move on to the next scene in our story when he continues this lesson from his series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. This brand new 12-message collection will teach you how to pray with the power that can move mountains, solve problems, and heal relationships. And it's yours as our thank you gift when you contact us by tomorrow and make a contribution to help keep this listener-supported broadcast coming your way. As a special bonus, we'll send it to you along with Tony's new book, Praying Through the Names of Jesus, a look at what the descriptive titles used in the Bible teach us about the Lord's character, personality, and purpose. We don't want you to miss out on this special double offer, so get ready to take down our contact information. I'll have it for you right after this.
The Bible, from beginning to end, passage by passage, thoroughly explained in plain language by one of America's top theologians. That's what you get in the brand new Tony Evans Commentary. It's loaded with a lifetime of insights and illustrations that'll help you dig up every nugget of spiritual truth and put those new understandings to work. Whether you're a brand new believer or an experienced Bible teacher, you'll want to have this powerful new resource close by every time you study God's Word. The Tony Evans Commentary, available now at TonyEvans.org.
The Tony Evans Commentary and the companion Tony Evans Study Bible are the result of over 10 years of intense study, producing thousands of relevant, up-to-date notes and one of only a few products of its kind written by a contemporary author. Be among the first to get your copy and see how it lights a fire under your Bible study time. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Where someone on our resource team is available to help you day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, here's Dr. Evans again with more of our message.
There are two sisters, Martha and Mary. Lazarus is their brother. Martha and Mary live together, but they're not alike. Martha is the rambunctious one. She's got a mouth. Any of you got a sister with a mouth? She got a mouth. Martha will not keep her peace. She's going to tell you what she thinks, how long she thought it. You remember Luke chapter 10? She's cooking chicken and potatoes and all of that. And then she gets ticked off. She comes outside and she says to Jesus, because she's not talking to Mary, would you tell her to come in here and help me? When you tell her, come in here and help me, I'm out here slaving and burning up in the kitchen, and she out here fraternizing with the company. I need some help up in here, up in here. So she tells you what she thinks. Not Mary. Mary does not have the type A personality of Martha. She's more ingrown. She's quieter. In fact, wherever you see Mary in the New Testament, the sister of Martha, she's sitting at Jesus' feet quietly. That's what she did. Every time you see her, she's at Jesus' feet. Martha's talking. She's listening. So, there is a question on the floor. And both sisters have the same question, but they approach the question differently. Martha raises the question in verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 32. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Those are the exact same words. Both sisters, which means they have discussed Jesus. When they were at the crib, they were discussing Jesus, and they said, you know, he should have been here. Jesus should have been here, and he wasn't here. And I can hear Martha say, yeah, and I'm going to tell him. Because that's what she does. She goes and tells him. Martha storms out to talk to him, to give him a piece of her mind. Mary stays home because I can't talk to Jesus right now. Because if he would have been here. Wait a minute, let me make sure I'm being relevant. Anybody here ever been felt God has let you down? Don't you care? How could you be this close? Stay 2 days longer and be glad. Doesn't make sense. Please note this. She expresses her pain and disappointment to Jesus. Point is okay to be honest in your prayers. Then neither sister is condemned because they express disappointment with God, God's son. They literally say, it doesn't look like you care. The disciples say, it doesn't look like you care, because sometimes that's how you feel. And since God already knows what you're thinking, do it respectfully. But it's okay to be honest with God. Because sometimes you don't feel like saying, oh, great God who lives in the third heaven, who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, who created the planets. That's nice when stuff is going right. But when stuff is not going wrong, when going wrong and you in a crisis, you better get to the point. Where were you? I'm hurting right now. So, she lets her emotions appropriately, respectfully, but clearly be enunciated in her prayer, because she's talking to Jesus, just like you and I. She has him physically, we have him spiritually, but it's a conversation with Jesus in the midst of a crisis. But she does something else, and I don't want you to miss this. Remember, I'm trying to walk you through this passage theologically, because after she expresses her disappointment, she goes on to say in verse 22, even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. Whoa, I don't want you to miss this. Jesus, verse 21, I'm hurting because I needed you and you didn't come. But, however, in spite of my pain, I know my beliefs. And if you call on the Father now, as bad as this situation is, he will still honor your request. So she marries, watch this, she marries her emotions with her theology. See, a lot of folk come to church for emotions. They want to clap. They want to sing. They want to shout. They want the emotion, and that's okay. The problem with emotion is that they are fluid. They're up today, down tomorrow, in between after that. You see? See, so you want to always have a theological and doctrinal foundation when you are emoting over your circumstances. She is emoting about her pain, but retreating to her theology. That's why you need to learn doctrine. That's why you need to learn theology. Now, doctrine and theology won't always make you shout. But it's like the special diet. It ain't the kind of stuff that you like love to run and get. It's raw. It's raw. But they said this raw stuff that may not have all the frills to it, this raw stuff is necessary to ground you in your situation. The purpose of doctrine is to ground you. No sugar. Absolutely no sugar. But sugar is so sweet. Sugar makes you feel so good. It makes you feel so right. So no matter how it makes you feel, you got to get some raw substance to deal with the crisis. A lot of folk come to church for sugar. They want a sugar high. They want to feel good. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're only getting sugar and you're not getting substance, when the sugar dies out, then you don't have anything to rest on. She says, look, right now I'm disappointed, but I know what I believe. And I'm going to appeal to what I believe in spite of how I feel right now. So you need to learn some theology and doctrine, because that'll ground you when the emotions are doing this.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to wrap up our program with a final challenge. First, don't forget our current double resource offer, Tony's brand new book, Praying Through the Names of Jesus, and his new 12-lesson series, Igniting Kingdom Prayer. Both yours as our thank you gift when you contact us by tomorrow and make a donation to help make this listener-supported ministry possible. Make the arrangements today by calling 1-800-800-3222 or visit TonyEvans.org, where you can sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional and follow along with him as we read through the Bible on social media, this week in Matthew 10. While you're there, don't forget to pick up your copies of the new Tony Evans Study Bible and Tony Evans Commentary. Why two resources? Well, here's what Dr. Evans told us recently.
Well, the Bible and the commentary are twins in the sense that they share a common life. At the bottom of both the Bible and the commentary, you will read the phrase, advancing God's kingdom agenda. But what the commentary gives you is more exposition, exegesis, and application, because it is totally given to that purpose. Whereas in the Bible, you have the text of Scripture, which lessens the amount of exposition you can put into the biblical text. But at the same time, the Bible has more supplemental material than the commentary has, like the QR codes and many other features. So they will work together to give you a full understanding and relevant application of all of Scripture.
These are two of the most important resources you can have by your side whenever you study God's Word, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, or just someone who wants to learn more about God's kingdom agenda in simple, easy-to-read language. Again, get your copies today at TonyEvans.org. When we're facing a crisis, big or small, we have two choices: listen to our feelings or listen to our faith. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain how our choice will affect how we pray and how God answers. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.